Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. If you would, just kind of read along with me for a couple of verses. And he says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and spit and touched his tongue." Now, I know that sounds weird, right? You got to remember, he's talking to a deaf guy. He can't hear. He can't speak. So Jesus tells the guy, he puts his fingers in the guy's ears, and he says, "I'm about to make you hear." And when he does that sign of spitting, he's saying, "I'm getting rid of this problem for you. I spit on your problem of his ears." And then he says, he touched his tongue. He said, he was motioning to him that he's going to loosen his tongue. You know, they didn't have regular sign language back then, so Jesus is just kind of giving him sign language. So I think the guy understood. And it says in verse 34, "He looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf and to hear, and the dumb to speak." Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, I just want to thank you for this passage of Scripture and help us to gain a good application from it, Lord, so that we can see in our own lives, is there things that we can't hear properly? Is our testimony mute like this person is? So I just ask, Lord, that you would just grant us your Holy Spirit and that you would touch us, Lord, with your power so that we may know how we can apply this text to our life and that you will just guide us, Lord, in a good understanding of your word and just guide the words in my mouth and the thinking of your people, Lord, that you'll just touch them where they need it the most. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I got to this scripture, there's not really, if you look at it, there's not really a whole lot to work with, is there? You know, we were kind of going through my Sunday school class, and we were talking about how to study the scripture. And when you look at this, it doesn't appear, well, what's in here that I can gain from it? Michael, will you give me a drink, buddy? So whenever you look at it, one of the things that I looked from is I wondered, is there something that I'm not hearing correctly in my life? Is my voice, is my tongue speaking the right things, the necessary things? And you know, and that just got me to thinking about some of the things that I hear on a regular basis. And to be honest, most of it's not good, is it? You know, if you turn on your TV, how much good do you hear coming from it? You look at the news, it's a bunch of bad news. You know, one of the bad news that I heard this week was that 400 Christians in Nigeria were slaughtered by Muslims, and the government wouldn't do anything about it. You know, that's bad news. And it's like that. It's like that all the time. So my question is to you today is, how is your hearing? Are you hearing from God? Or are you just hearing what the media is putting out there? Maybe you're just listening to the President of the United States. Who you really need to be listening to is, you need to be hearing from God. That's who you need to be hearing from. Have you heard how God is doing some literal healing in the world today? You know, oftentimes that gets overlooked in the healing power. You know, I'm thankful for Caroline and the healing that's happened to her body. There's another young man, his name is Connor, that he got some major infection in his leg. It just came on him all of a sudden. I'm thankful for Brother Scott's healing and many of you, the other ones here that's gone through some things, that you've experienced some healing. And here we see that the Scripture says when God puts His hand on you, He does all things well. So today I want us to look, maybe not specifically at ourselves, but what is God really doing in this world to prepare our minds and our hearts for His return, just like the song that we were singing about. If you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. A few months ago, we looked at some of the passages here, but we're going to look at them from a little bit different point of view this morning. Look in verse 5 of chapter 35. And it says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be stopped. And the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For the wilderness shall break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes." You know, one of the things that we need to understand about God is He really does heal people, and He really does heal lands. That man who was deaf and dumb, I believe Jesus Christ really healed him. I don't think it's a made-up story by Mark. I believe that He really does it. I believe that He could do it today. I'm not against miracles. I think the same God who was in the past is the same God that's here today and the same one that's going to be in the future. And He heals peoples and He heals lands, but there is a catch. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." The problem why we don't see that type of stuff very much in America is because we have not humbled ourselves. We have not been praying. We have not sought His face. We have not turned from our wicked ways. That's why we have not heard from heaven. That is why our sins in this country are not forgiven, and why we see no healing in our land. In fact, what we see more than anything else is disease and sickness literally taking over. That's what we see. Why? Because our ears are still stopped up. We can't hear. We're not hearing right. When our tongue flaps, it's not bringing forth the gospel of God's truth. And 2 Chronicles has the answer. I know it's preached a whole lot. It's important that we understand this, because if we're ever going to see healing in our land, if we're ever going to see healing in our churches, we've got to get this and make it our motto for life. This is going to be the driving force in our everyday life. But I bet if I went around, though, and asked, and many, you know, even preachers, you know, I've even talked to pastors. You know, you guys, I think you guys probably know more than most of the churches that I've talked to. Because I was talking to a guy the other day about something that's going on in this world, the healing power of God, something that's important in Bible prophecy. And he had no clue. He hasn't been keeping up. He hasn't been hearing the right stuff. To me, Jesus is coming back. I want to know all the signs leading up to His return. Is that important to you? Wouldn't you want to know? Is Jesus really coming back soon? He would give us a sign, I think. The sign is in Israel. The sign is the actual healing of the land of people who God said, if they're called by my name, they'll humble themselves and pray. Look at what we see happening in Israel. To the Jews, they are hearing the message of the gospel. You know, about 15 years ago, maybe not that long ago, maybe it was just 10, maybe a little more than 10. But I looked up on the internet how many Jewish believers believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And I remember this specifically. You know how many that the internet said at that time there was? About 3,000. That's what the internet said about that time, about a little over 10 years ago. This morning I'm reviewing and I decided, you know, I haven't looked that up in a while. I wonder what it is. This is what showed up on one of the top headlines, that there's an estimated over 300 congregations of Messianic Jews and an estimated 600,000 Messianic Jews in less than 15 years. That is what happens when God's people who are called by His name humble themselves, because they realize something. We sinned against God. We killed our Messiah. Do you realize that you would have killed your Messiah too if He came to you? He died for the sins of the world. He was sent to the world. The world received Him not. Yet He died alone for you and for me. He became the propitiation for your sins. And they pray. If you were a Jew, wouldn't you pray? Lord, you see the reproach on your people. You see how the enemies are surrounding us from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. The Scripture says that all nations will come against Israel, and that is what's lining up. They've got one friend in the world, and we're not even a very good friend sometimes. That's us. Who do they have? They have God. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And they've recognized something. Their Messiah came, about 600,000 of them. You know, that's a number that that's the first time that I heard it. I hadn't heard anyone else say that number before. I know we brought the lady from the Jews for Jesus to show us how Jesus did the Passover. But I hadn't thought about how many there are. I did ask her. She didn't really know. But there's an estimated 600,000. Now, that's the top end of the estimate. But isn't that remarkable? I mean, I really remember a 3,000 number. That's what they said a little over 10 years ago. And now that many, you know what that means? That means revivals are real. Awakenings are possible. And it doesn't have to be just them. It could be us. It could be the United States of America. But we have to want it. And we've got to recognize something. God really does have healing power. He has a supernatural arm. He doesn't mind breaking the attributes of nature. He created those laws. He can modify them whenever He wants. And He says, come. Turn from the wickedness that's in your society. Don't be a part of it. When you get into Revelation, you'll hear the expression a couple times. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the wickedness. Do not participate in her plagues. Don't be a part of the wrath. We're children of God. We're not appointed unto wrath. We're appointed unto something better. We're appointed unto heaven. We're appointed unto a Savior to be conformed into His image, to holiness and righteousness, and to turn from wicked ways. Isn't it amazing that then He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. A few months ago, we were talking about some of the things that's happening in Israel. That's literally, their land is transforming. Look what it says back in 35, verses 1 and 2. It says, in the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with the joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and excellency of our God. You know, I just read down there in verse 7 that the parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. The habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. That is literally fulfilling before our very eyes. Who knew? Very few know. The only ones who have been told, some crazy guy who just gets on Google and starts looking for those things. Do you realize Ezekiel 47 talks about the pools around the Dead Sea filling up with fish? We talked about it a couple of months ago. That's literally happening today. 2 years ago, they started seeing the first fish. It's literally happening. What is happening? God is healing the land of Israel before your very eyes because He is a supernatural God. And He could change the environment, the ecosystem, if God's people would do what that previous verse said in 2 Chronicles. Literally, the land is healing. You know what's growing up around those freshwater pools that are filling up with fish? Reeds and bulrushes and flowering plants. The other verses in 35 talk about Carmel and Sharon. Carmel, y'all remember Carmel? That is where Elijah was up on the top. If you go on to Google, just see, type in Mount Carmel in Israel and look at the images. You know what you're going to see? Mountains covered in flowers. Sharon, that's the valleys. You know what you see when you type that in? You'll see flowers. You might even see one called the Rose of Sharon. The lily of the valley. Springing up all over the place in Israel, God is healing the land. It used to be inhabited with dragons and it wasn't good for anything. Mark Twain was there. Back in the early 1900s, late 1800s, and he said, the ground is parched. There's nothing there but rocks and dirt. Why would anybody want this land? Nobody wanted the land. That's why they so easily gave it to Israel back in 1945. There was nothing there for them. But as God has brought His people back, He gave them more rain. With the amount of people, more rain. And now, they have, let me read the stat to you. Just on the flowers, according to worldatlas.com, Israel is in the top 10 of the world producers of flowers and flowering plants. And they export these. They're exporting them to Europe. Who would have thought? 20 years ago, not so. Didn't exist. These were not the numbers. There was hardly anything there. But God, in the past 20 years, He wants us to wake up. He says, can you hear my voice? I'm screaming it out from Israel, from Mount Zion. Can you hear my return is coming? And I'm healing the land. Can your eyes see? If your ears can hear and your eyes could see, your tongue needs to proclaim, Jesus is coming back soon. And here's the sign. Israel is being healed. The country, a staggering sum of $200 million annually with flowers. It is 1% share of the global market. That's Israel. I'm telling you, Israel wouldn't even fit in northeast Arkansas, the corner of us. We're bigger than they are. And God is healing their land. If you go there, there's another passage. I didn't put it on here, but there's another one that talks about the fields flowing with milk and new wine. They're one of the top producers of wine in the world. They are one of the top producers of milk in the world. God is making them the best at everything. Why? Because they're His people. And they're not the only ones that are His people. If you have been born again, you have been grafted in. You have been adopted. You are God's people too. And the same promises that He gave to Israel, He's given to His people. No matter if to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Paul would say, do you see the signs? Can you hear what I'm saying? You don't have to take my word for it. Look it up. It's all over the place on the internet. The problem is, we get stumped by what CNN is saying, or what Fox News is saying in, or the latest tweet that Trump has put out. When our sun shouldn't be on this world, our eyes should be on the one above, because we're pilgrims in this land. And what should matter to us the most is not the current events, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, not the bad news. Can you hear? Or do you need that Jesus to touch your ears today? Have you been proclaiming the gospel, or does Jesus need to touch your tongue? Look in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. It says, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. See, when Jesus came, He created a way of holiness. In fact, He would say it like this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except through me. I am the way unto holiness. How do you get that holiness? You become born again, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the way of holiness. When you get into the book of Acts, you will often see this terminology. The way. Because they realize something. Jesus is the pathway unto everlasting life and to righteousness. How do I get from planet Earth to heaven? Through the way. The unclean cannot go this way. Only the clean can. How do you become clean? You have to be purged from your wickedness. You have to be purged from your sins. You have to repent. You have to lay those things at the feet of Jesus Christ and let Him take those burdens away. This morning, when I was looking at it, I started thinking, and I don't know why it came to my mind, but I've often heard about the free pardon of sin. And I started thinking, I've heard that a bunch. Has anyone ever heard that phrase before? It's not free. The pardon makes you free, but it wasn't free. It cost the blood of God manifest in the flesh. It cost Him something. And I started thinking, I'm like Barabbas. Y'all remember the story of Barabbas? Pilate says, I've got two prisoners here. I've got Jesus and I've got Barabbas. Barabbas is condemned to die. He deserves death. He's a murderer. He's a thief. He's a scoundrel. He deserves the death penalty. Here's Jesus. He's done nothing that I can find. Which one will you choose? One has to die. And you know what man chose? They chose to kill Jesus and let the scoundrel, the murderer, the deceitful, the deceiver, the thief go free. And Jesus Christ died in His place. I'm no better than Barabbas. Jesus took my place. The pardon for your sin is not free. It cost Jesus Christ everything. It's not free. Once you're saved from your sin, you're not free to live in sin. You're free to turn away from sin and those evil ways and to accept that I am not a part of this world anymore. I am a wayfaring stranger. That word fools right there, that's not talking about the same fool as a fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That's not the same type of fool. The fool who says that in his heart is evil and wicked. This fool is someone of Proverbs chapter 3 that lacks understanding. God, I don't understand. I don't understand why I've gone through so many things. I don't understand why you had to die on the cross like that. But I'm thankful. Will you give me knowledge? Will you increase my faith? Will you help me to accept the foolishness that comes with you? The Scripture says that it's the foolishness of preaching that leads men to Jesus. If you ever feel, well, y'all, some of y'all might not know the feeling, the foolishness that I feel sometimes. Or maybe you've tried to witness to somebody and you felt foolish because it seems foolish to this world. Hey, the foolishness of the cross is the only way to salvation. How foolish are we? Whatever it takes to get people to know that there is only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. He is the way of holiness. And the unclean cannot pass there. There's no unsaved person that goes to heaven. They must accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or they will not go to heaven. If you think, well, I've never murdered anybody, it doesn't matter. You have failed the law of God. You're guilty. And the punishment of that guilt is death. There's only one way. You must be Barabbas and have Jesus Christ take your place. You must give your life to Jesus. You must repent of your sins. Because the wisdom of God, this is 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." If you have been saved, you have believed the foolishness. Why would God do that? Why would Jesus do that? He could have called 10,000 angels to set him free. Yet he didn't. Because he realized your soul was at stake. And he wasn't willing to give you up for his freedom. He wanted you to have freedom. And he bore the penalty. He became the sacrifice for your sin. Who are these clean people? Look at verse 9 and 35 with me. It says, "No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found, but there the redeemed shall walk." The redeemed walk there. Where is this? This is in heaven. Nobody will be in heaven that is not redeemed. Have you ever wondered who these redeemed people are? I was thinking about it. Here's some adjectives about these people. These are the blood-bought people. Their sins are forgiven. They're justified. They're sanctified. They're glorified. They're the whosoever's. You recall that? The whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. They called upon the name of the Lord. They are the whosoever's. They're the elected. They're the predestinated. They're conformed into the image of Christ. They're born again. They're delivered. They're adopted. They're saints. They're sons of the Almighty God. If you are the redeemed, that's who you are. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are of the redeemed. And these should describe you. Does it describe you? Do you hear what I'm saying? If God can heal Israel right in front of our eyes, He can heal you. If He could take a dry and a thirsty, good-for-nothing land, He could take a dry and a thirsty, good-for-nothing person and make something good out of you, just like He has that land right in front of our eyes. Can you see the miracle that happens when that does? If we think it's a miracle that it happened to the land, just think about a person that was in despair in the depths of sin, that it had overpowered them, and there was nowhere for them to go, but they turned to Jesus. And it's only by Jesus that they could truly be pardoned, that they could truly be made free. Look in verse 10. It says, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Hey, just like that song we were singing about, what a meeting in the air. Can you imagine what that's like? The ransomed of the Lord. Matthew 20 and verse 28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." He gave His life to ransom you so that one day you could go to heaven. You won't have to deal with this stuff anymore. In heaven, there's no more death. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. The tears that come to your eyes, He says He'll wipe them away. They're not in heaven. There's no more being taken away from family members. There's no more parting. There's no more saying goodbye. The redeemed are there. I like this scripture. "They shall return." 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. "To this end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Sister Louise, you're going to be united with your brother again. "I'm going to see my grandparents again." You're going to see your parents again. If they're a part of the redeemed, do you understand what this is saying? Jesus Christ is coming back, and He comes back not with a couple, with all. Does it say all? I think it says all His saints. He wants you to be in that number. Are you a whosoever? The Scripture says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jesus Christ is the way, and He says, "Come. Come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they could be made white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they could be made as wool." The church says, "Come." Jesus says, "Come." Don't be left out. Don't say, "Oh, I've got time, I've got time." Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say, "I want to make sure I am in that number, that I am a part of the redeemed." Revelation 21 and 10, it says, "And He carried me away in the Spirit to the great and high mountain and showed me that great city, Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven." Zion is a real place. It's called New Jerusalem. Only the clean go there. Only the redeemed. Only those who have allowed Jesus Christ to purge them of their iniquities. What does He give you? Joy and gladness. Revelation 7:17, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains." Jesus Christ personally is there. You will see Him. He's not a made-up mythological creature. He is someone who is real. You could touch Him. You can hear Him. I bet that deaf guy in Mark 7, it was one thing when Jesus touched him and put His fingers in his ear. It touched his tongue. But how amazing it was when he saw Jesus look up to heaven and sigh. and say, be opened. I think he heard. Be opened. The first words that he ever heard in his life, be opened. Have you opened up your heart to Jesus? Are your ears open? Is your tongue speaking about it? What does the Scripture say in Mark 7? That Jesus said, don't go and tell anybody. But the more he insisted that they don't, the more they did, because they were sore amazed. Because he does all things well. If he can heal the land, he can heal your soul. Have you been born again? Have you accepted the way of holiness? I hope you have. But if you haven't, accept him today. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Let Jesus Christ heal you today. Let him open up your ears so that you can hear. Let him take your tongue and make you be able to speak the words of righteousness and holiness. You know what the deaf guy said as soon as he was done? Probably besides thank you. He's like, come. Come here. I want to tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me. Yesterday, I couldn't hear. Yesterday, I couldn't speak. But today, I can glorify the name of Jesus Christ and tell you that he is the master physician. He is the healer of not just transgressions, but of souls. He healed me physically. He healed me spiritually. And he wants his people who are called by his name to humble themselves, to pray, to seek his face, to turn from their wicked ways, and allow heaven to speak to them. He'll hear from heaven and will heal their land. Oh, we need that today. Brother Sean, would come on up, and Sister Betty, would you play the piano? Pray with me. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this passage. Yeah, when I looked at it the first time, I didn't know what to do with it. But I'm thankful, Lord, that you heal. You heal people. You heal their lives. You heal lands. Lord, would you help us to seek your face just as Solomon prayed? He gave us the answer to all of our nation's problems. Yet that's not where we turn to. We turn to other things. Lord, would you help your people to see the right answer, to seek your face and to acknowledge you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, if there's someone here today who does not know you, touch them. Help them, Lord, to see that there is a need in their life and that you are the answer to that need. Guide us, Lord. Guide your people. Guide those under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.